Today's daf is daf Yud, and we had gotten up to third line. Tzavur echad shel chametz, ulefanav shnei batim bedukim. We're going through now, again, various sfeikot. So because the Mishnah started off with the question of what happens if you don't see an achbar, from which we inferred what would happen if we did see an achbar, and from there we started thinking about what type of sfeikot could allow us to rely on what type of assumptions to liyah, to be told us something, because we're dealing with the district rabbana. We're continuing now other cases as well. So we went through the idea of Tesha Chanuyot, the difference between Kavua and Rov, Shnei Tzivurim, where you have a Tuliyah of two different things and two similar things on the other side in the Safik Rabbana. Now we come to another interesting question, where you had one pile of chometz with two houses, both of which are Beduki. Ata Akbar Vishakal, Veloyadina Ilahai Al Ilahai Al. We know that the mouse went into one of these homes, and we don't know which one. And both homes need to know if they require a rebadika. Well, this is the classic case of Shnei Shvili. It's not. It's the Mishnah that talks about here, it's really Mishnah in the entire script. Most people know through Ksivas. Shnei Shvili, Mecha Tame Vecha Tohar, Veolak Vechad Mehem, Vyasa Taharot. You have two different paths. One person walks on one, and one person walks on the other one. Each one knows that they're not on the same path as the other one, but they don't remember who took the high road and who took the low road. And therefore, where they each touched the high road, one of the Shvilin had a kever cut across. Uh-oh, you better watch out, the captain's here. One of these roads had a kever that was straight across the road. So there was no way that you cut across here without becoming tamei. And now each one of these people has a question about the taharot that they touched. We do not talk about the question about the person per se, as we'll see, but only about the taharot that they touched. And now, so Allah bechad mi ambeil satarot bachavirov, Allah besheniva satarot, says Rav Yehuda, the psak halakha depends on how the question is asked. In nishalu ze bifnei atzmo v'ze bifnei atzmo, if each one of them comes into Beit Din and asks what the status is of the taharot, each one of them is given a psak that they are tahorim, because this is a suffik tumer b'rishut harabim, there's no problem really, mi karabim. The problem over here is if both come together, Shnehem bevatachat, then they're tzveim. However, if they both come together, since it's impossible for us to tell them that they're both tohar, and to make a single psak, which is self-contradictory, so therefore we tell them that they're both tamei. Rabbi Yossi, no. Bein kach u'bein kach tmeim. Rabbi Yossi holds, since they're, both of them have a situation which we can't possibly paskin, and both are tohar, so therefore they're both tmeim. And Rava explains, as some say, as Rabbi Yochanan explains, the machlokas. Bevatachat evechot tmeim. If they come in together, then everybody agrees definitely they're tmeim. Bezeach azeh, Rabbi Yossi also didn't disagree. Rabbi Yossi agrees that Yosafik Tomer B'Shut HaRabim, where one psak is not nogea the other psak, then why in the world is there a problem? The only question of the machloket over here, explained Rava or Rabbi Yochanan, is in a case where lo nechku ela babala yishael alav v'yal kaveiro, where the person comes in, describes to the Beit Din, here's the situation, I and my friend were walking, we both took different paths, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Yossi says, because the presentation of the case was bevatachat, so it's as if we're asking for psak halacha bevatachat, and therefore we can't say that you're both tahor. Rabbi Yehuda says, why do you say that? What we can say is, your status, the questioner's status, your status is that you're tahor. From that, the questioner will obviously deduct on his own that had the other person asked the question, he would also have been told tahor. But the Beit Din does not have to acknowledge the existence of the second question at the same time. And they could simply ask him one of the questions because there's nobody demanding an answer. And there, Rabbi Yehuda is medamina lezeh achar zeh. So over here, in this case, we have basically the same situation. If one of the homes asks the question, then everybody is motivated that that home does not require a bedika, because that home can be tailor that it went to the other house. The only problem that would come up is if they both make the mistake of asking the question, they ask it as a single she'elah. How about the question of Safik Al, Safik Lo Al, where we're not even sure that the mouse, after he took the chametz, we don't know if he went into the house before. We saw him in the chutzah, grabs the chametz, and he runs. I don't know where he ran. He went too fast for me. He might have gone into the house, he might not have gone into the house. Sorry? If the two homes, if the owners of the two homes ask simultaneously, so then it's the same as the two people asking. Yeah. Depends on how we have to be mityaches to the psak. Because we can't be mityaches to psak, it's logically inconsistent. So we have no choice but to say that the suffix, since there's vadai tumah here, we can't pass tar vadai on both sides. Yeah, we can only pass when we're left with a suffix. When you create a situation to the court where the court's going to have to tell you what the total status is, the total status can't possibly be told. The question as to why we don't go ahead and just ask about what the din is of an adam tahar is, why did we say that they each of them necessarily touched taharot over here? So suppose it's because we're certainly going to ask each of these individuals to go through the taharot process, because in the event that both of them would touch something, then that thing would be vaday tameh. We can't paskin on each of them that they're tahar, because ultimately, what if they get together and pick up something? That's something simultaneously, one after the other. In which case, the psak would definitely be that thing is tummy. So memela, and a person himself will tell them, go to the mikveh, do tyra with the paratum, and so in one of the houses. The next case, which we're now talking about, is we're not even sure that the mouse went into the house. So suffik al, suffik lo al. That's the case of bik'ah. This is a marvelous, and Umar brings together here a collection of all the various types of smekot throughout Shas, and applies them to our case, because here was the Mishnah that talks about a suffix leaving all to implication. In question Shema, but there's 20 steps between that Shema and between the Vada. So we're going to go through each one of them. It's beautiful to see. So how about if we know that there is a mouse, and we know that the mouse has the chametz, but we don't know that the mouse went into the house? So that's our next question. That's the case, the famous case of Bik'ah, which is a bika, is a valley that has a lot of different fields in it and so on, which also is a famous Mishnah in Masechet Taharot. It's none. Anichnas la bika, yemota gishamin, v'tum'a b'sadeh ploni. So somebody now is going through a bika, and there's different fields, and he knows, everybody knows for a fact, that a certain field has a kever in it. And then when he comes out, he says, you know, alakti b'makom alaz, I don't know if I ever went into that area. Now, since it's Yemot HaGeshamim, nobody's there. And that's what defines Rishut HaYachin, Rishut HaRabim, in terms of Dinei Tumah, as opposed to Dinei Shabbat, of course. So during the rain, the field is dormant. Nobody's working on the field. So we now have what appears to be a Safek Tumah, Rishut HaYachid. Normally, a Safek Tumah, Rishut HaYachid, we pass it as Vaday Tomei. We learned that out from Sotah, but the Gemara said, if he's Nisteret, then he needs Ma'ah for all intents and purposes until proven otherwise. So therefore, you would think that that's immediately out of Paskin. Rebbe Eliezer nonetheless says, no, in such a case, it's Tahor, because you have a Safek Bechlau whether you went in. V'chachamim mitam'im, Shaya Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Safek Biyah Tahor, Safek Marga Tumah Tameh. The only time that we have a suffix where we say suffix tumah rishut hayachid vaday tameh is where you definitely were in the place where there's the tumah. The question is whether there was a nigiyah of the tumah. So, because we're comparing it to the case of the sota, she's definitely alone with her lover in that place. The question is whether they made an act of love. The same exact situation over here, where there's no din of, well, I'm not sure, maybe she was alone with him. So over here's a suffix. Oh. So here too, in our case, which is a drabon, and obviously we'll take the same kula halachas, so therefore it should be tahor. Whereas the chachamim say, once the Torah tells you that you have to be machmir on a suffix, even though it would be the type of suffix in the Kassar, it's all the lima that we had, the nida about suffix to remember Shut Rabbi, then lechora, even if it's a sveik, I'm not even answering the question, sveik, did I go in, did I not go in? Even if I went in, did I come in contact with the tumors? Okay. So even if it's sveik, this Atosmus understands it, it's already telling us to ignore the normal dinner of suffix, and therefore here it would still be tummy. Because normally a sveik would be tahar. It would be, taking it out of the sphere of tumor would be lakula.
But
yeah, it's like Chacham said. Well, the Chacham, we compare it to the din of Sota, that it's a Gzera Takatuf, that you go to Chumra. The question is, does that apply even to Sveik Sefer? No matter what the chances are. It's just a din of Torah gave us that I come in. Look, the connection, as Tosa says, it's very unclear how we're connecting this to Tuma. I mean, if you would have told me that we're connecting it because Sufik Tuma versus Rabim should be Tar, and this is Rabban, and therefore should be Tar, then why did we switch around and make it a Sufik Tuma versus Tayaka here? Because I don't know. Seems to be a very loose connection. Okay, how about if the mouse went into the house And now the owner of the house went ahead and was bodek the house and didn't find the bread in the house. So there, you know, didn't find the mouse either. So look at the Rebbe Meir v'Rabbanan. That's a machlokas. Between Rebbe Meir and the Rabbanan, the Tanaya Rebbe Meir Omer, Kol davar shebecheskat tuma la'olamu betumato ashivadalecha tuma heichan hi. So here we have a situation, we have like three mounds in this sort of the case. We know that under one of those mounds there was a body buried 100 years ago. Nobody remembers which mound it is, so it became known as the Pharaoh. So now, the Shaila is, somebody wants to be tired of the area. Okay, so he checks mound number one, digs down. There's no body under mound number one. At that point, mound number one is star, and the other mounds are the Sufi. Digs under mound number two. Now, both mound one and mound two are tar. Digs under mound number three, and lo and behold, there's nobody under mound. So now the barrel down suddenly. What happened? Certainly a misora of so many hundreds of years that the spirits live here. So Rabbi Meir says if there was a Veskas Tum in a place and you didn't find it, then it's still there.
Boom, 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 boom.
If you didn't find it,
if you didn't find it, it didn't walk away, that's for sure. So the question is, it must have been there, and you'll just have to be mazik now all three of them, but Tumah, because clearly the job wasn't done properly. Whereas the Chachamim say, look, you get down to a point in which nobody buried any bodies, and that's all. And at that point, there's nothing else to do. What are we going to say? I mean, you say, but you can't explain the phenomena. A lot of strange things out there, Horatio. So, Manela, who knows what happened? It walked away. An Orib came and took it. Akbar dug it up. Who knows? But in any event, I certainly don't have to worry about what I don't see if I do a Badik. So in this case, so here's an interesting focus for Rashi Tesman, because obviously what I'm going to say in this case, just spend the rest of the month thinking about it. What is Rabbi Meir going to say? That you didn't find it, therefore it's still there. And therefore, now what do I do? I keep going through the motions and doing the because comments in an endless loop. Says Tosis, no, the question over here was that the guy was relying on his bedikah. And he didn't do a bittul. So, according to Rabbi Meir, you'll have to do a bittul, because otherwise you'll have to assume you're being over and alav. The chametz was brought in, you didn't find it. You'll have to admit that there's a lav over here. At this point, Rashi says a very funny pshat. He says, even according to Rabbi Meir, since in this place there is an achbar, so Rabbi Meir would also say that, well, I mean, I know what happened to it, right? I mean, he ate it up. But the Gemara said that Hainu look, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Now Rashi's saying it isn't really. It's just we're comparing it to Machlokas, but actually, in this case, everybody would agree. What happened to the Gemara? That's what Tosfos says. No, it really is a question whether you're mechuyev to make the bittul mitzad the chi of the arise, as opposed to simply the normal takana that we make. Huh?
You say it's a subject of the bika.
Therefore, you can assume it was taken away. Maybe an animal came in 100 years ago, dug up the body, and now you want to see it. Whatever.
I don't talk about what the public said.
Well, obviously, here we know what happened. The achbar ate it up, or put it in a mouse hole. I mean, so if we don't find the mouse hole, so you may waste some of the. No, that's what Raj is saying. In this case, for sure, you don't have to. Even I'll leave it already made. Okay, how about you went into the house, the mouse went to the house. You went to the house. Found the chometz in the house. Okay, now we're happy. The chometz was right there in the living room. Baruch Hashem, I have to go through everything. Not so simple. It's machlokas between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. D'tanya sadesh and avad b'keder. You have a field in which you know that there was definitely someone buried here. Okay, you have to assume an ikus atoka tameh. But nimtza b'keder, one day somebody's plowing up the field and all of a sudden uncovers the keder. Now, Rebbe says, look, I mean, it's pretty reasonable. We know that someone was once buried here. We found the body. Fine. So we found the body that was buried, right? And in this case, it would be the same with the chometz. We know that the chometz is the body, legally. Now we found the body, and that's it. So now everything is fine. The body is tahor. Same way the sod is tahor, so to speak.
Is there a difference between
the different standing of Eved that we had before.
Yeah, of course. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. No. How do you know it's the same body? Maybe the same way there was one body buried there, maybe this is just another body. How can you be certain that therefore you still have the same suffix? So tibadei kol ha-sadeh kula. So just because you found a piece of bread in the living room doesn't mean that that's the piece of bread that the mouse brought in. You're going to have to do a bedikah on the house once there's a chiyuv on the bedikah. Okay, how about you leave 9 pieces of chametz and suddenly you find 10? You think you're in good luck? No way. That's a machlokas. Rebbe v'rabbona. The Tanya, hiniach mona. Somebody leaves a pile of $100 worth of ma'aser sheni money. Comes back in the morning, this is the way most of the people in the Rova make a living, and you find 200. Nobody knows where it came from. You put your hand in the pocket and suddenly there's money there, right? How else can you live? Matzah matayim. So what happens? So over there, you have to assume that chulin u'ma'aser sheni mu'ravim zeh b'zeh divrei Rebbe. So in other words, Rebbe holds that what you have over here is your original 100 plus another 100. The other 100, why should I think the other 100 is ma'aser sheni money? But the tooth fairy gives ma'aser sheni money. The tooth fairy gives regular money. Right? So that's on the mela. You have now a mixture of 100 worth. So okay, you'll take money and you'll say wherever the ma'aser sheni money is, it should be b'chulul on this, and now the rest of it is chul and everything's fine. Ma'aser sheni money. Whereas the chachamim say no, there's no ma'aser sheni left over here. It's not that the tooth fairy came and added to your pile. The tooth fairy walked off with all your money. She got smart. What do you want after all these years? So somebody else must have been feeling bad for you and put in another 200 to make you feel better. Or maybe they caught her and they were b'chayiv to pay kefo. You never know what goes on up there. So, but there's no reason to assume, once you're ready to say that something happened and I now have things I didn't have before, how do you know the whole thing isn't what you had before? It's not that it should not be what you didn't have before. So maybe you could assume that it's all chulin. Why assume it's an additional?
But why do you have to assume?
Well, because it's a chazak on tooth fairies that they don't use ma'aser sheni. Exactly, but Sam. No, in other words, normally we're not mazik as fake for no reason. I'm trying to say maybe it's ma'aser sheni. That's not the question. The question is this my money? So Rebbe simply said, look, I mean, if there's more money, so assume that whatever was more is more, not that the whole thing was changed. So I'm saying, look, I mean, why should you think this has anything to do with what you originally left? It's not what you left, and therefore may it all be something else. You can arise and rely on that, Makula. So in this case, where you went ahead and you found more chametz, more than what you had, you're going to have to assume that none of your original chametz is here, unfortunately. You're going to have to find all of it, going to the chametz. So I have to assume that none of this is my chametz at all. So you're going to have to check the entire house, according to him. Because I no longer say that, well, this is just another piece of chametz. Now, wait a minute. Chametz doesn't reproduce. So if there's another piece of chametz, and they may all be other pieces of chametz, what the heck happened to your first chametz? So then I'm going to have to go check. Find my first chametz.
If you don't find it, what are they
all? If you don't find it? That's not the case. The Achbar ate it. I mean, that's the machlokes we had before.
Burned down the house.
There's a movie like that, right? With the mouse.
Yeah. This is the wrong pile of money.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. It's a new pile of money. So therefore, it's a new pile of chametz. Where's the old pile? How about if the more common case where you left 10 pieces of chametz and there's only 9 pieces of chametz left? Hainu Seifa. Now that's the next piece. The next piece is the Tanya. Iniach matayim u'matzah mona. How about if you had 200 and now you find only 100? So then you have mona munach u'mona mutal. Now you've got half of what you originally had. So same thing is true over here. You won't have to check. It's just you'll only, once you find that missing piece, then you're okay. But there's no reason to expect that there's more that's missing. The Chachomim say, no, there's no reason to assume that what's left is what you originally had at all. You can assume that in the case of the money, Hakol Chulin, in which case over here, you're going to have to find everything that you had originally left, all the pieces. Because according to the Chachomim, none of these pieces can be assumed to be your original piece. And now here is the most common case in history. You know 100% you left the can opener right there on the counter. Okay, the can opener is not on the counter. You suddenly find it in the bathroom on the upstairs. Nobody else was in this house but you. What's the explanation?
It's your wife's fault.
That's always, you know. Okay. So we all know that strange entities enter our homes in the middle of the night, switch things around, hide the keys that you had left on the shelf. This is clear. The question is, do we have to worry about those strange entities when it comes to comments? That's the question. I mean, it's the guy, I keep telling my wife, this guy has been following us around from the first week we were married. So here, you leave your chametz in one corner of the room, and now you find it in the other corner of the room. What happened? That's the old machlokas of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabban. Titania, kardom she'avad b'bayit. Somebody loses a hammer. Now, everybody knows the hammer is always exactly where you left it, in the toolbox. You come back to the toolbox, there's no hammer. Oh my God, in the middle of the night, somebody snuck in and stole dafka my hammer. So what do I do? The whole house is tummy. Because, I mean, maybe the sneak, it was tummy, and who knows what he touched. If he touched a hammer, he could have touched anything. So you have to make sure the whole house now is tuffle and so on, every clean that you got. Look, I mean, whoever took that hammer, he might have touched a lot of other stuff. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, maybe you lent it to somebody. Or maybe you picked it up in one corner, left it in the other corner. I think we can rely on you lent it to somebody and you forgot. This is what your wife always says. Now, if you let her know this, she'll be telling you Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. The bias is gone. You lent it to somebody, you forgot, or maybe you picked it up at one corner and then set it down somewhere else, and in a senior moment answered the telephone and forgot you were holding the camera. Don't worry about it. Savi, wait a minute. How did corners get into this here? We didn't talk about a corner, speaking of senior moments. We were talking about lending out hammers. Zavid, man, dochar, shmei, who said anything about that corner? Chisuri mechas, oging tamim. Kardom shahavad babayet abayet tamim. Shani omer adam tamim nikhlas shaman talo. Oh, and this is the missing piece. Oh, shehinich obizavit zo, matzo bezavit acheret. Or for that matter, you know you left that hammer in the toolbox. Now how the heck did it get up to the roof? Clearly somebody snuck in the middle of the night and took it there. So the whole bayit is tamim. Shani omer adam tamim nikhlas shaman talo mizavit zo. Here too, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, and maybe you picked it up and forgot that you left it on the other side. The first case. The mouse runs into the house, and he's got the bread in his mouth. I run. I want to catch the mouse in the act, but all I find is a pile of crumbs. What happened? Crumbs, crumbs. What happened? Tzarech b'dikah. Obviously, he's trying to put you off his trail. This is not the piece that he was eating. Mipnei she'ein darko shel achbar lefarer. Achbarim do not usually leave crumbs. If they're going to eat, they eat. Or they put it away. So he's trying to fool you. This is not the bread that he was eating. Huh? But why did it turn into crumbs? Omar Rav, on the other hand, if a tinok nichnas v'kikar b'yado, so if a kid goes in carrying a piece of chametz v'nichnas achrav matzah pirurim, then ain't zorich b'dikam if they should darko shel tinok v'farer. He wants to get the maximum pleasure from the chametz that he's spreading all over the house. So therefore, he will definitely push it into different crumbs. How about this case, asked Rav? Mouse runs in holding a piece of bread. Mouse runs out holding a piece of bread. Now what? Is it the same mouse? Is it the same bread? Me, I'm reading, I know how the aisle.
This is the same mouse.
I know how the aisle, I know how the nafi. Is it the same mouse that went in as the mouse that came out? Of the Omachrina, oh boy, what Dr. Seuss could do with this. Or maybe it, you never know. So, suppose you're ready to accept that we have the same mouse with the same kicker. How about if a white mouse runs in, carrying a piece of chametz in its mouth, and a black mouse runs out, carrying a piece of chametz in its mouth? So now the question is this a decoy?
Did he get a paint job?
Or did he fall into your inkwell? So what do we say? Hani vare afrinohu. This is definitely another mouse. There wasn't time for a repaint. O dilma armui arme mine. Or maybe it's just a ramai and he's trying to fool you. Or maybe he grabbed it. The armuye is to throw something out from one, so he threw it out of the other mouse's mouth, and now he's running out with it. Now, of course, this depends on the moral level of the mice, because, I mean, a decent mouse would not eat another mouse's piece of chametz, certainly not when the chametz is as rare as it is. So the im tilama, if you're going to tell me, that's ridiculous. No self-respecting mouse would take from another mouse. Achbarim lo shakwe me'adadi. So we don't expect that a mouse will take from another mouse. How about if a mouse runs in holding a piece of bread and a rat runs out holding a piece of bread? Now a rat, they're not called rats for nothing. They will take that out of the rat's out of the mouse's very mouth. So there, chulda varai me'achba shakalte. There I should say, well, it's clear what happened here. Or maybe this is another kicker that he found. Why would I think that? Because, look, if he's got an opportunity to take the kicker, why didn't he take the mouse with the kicker? He should have been holding the mouse and the kicker. Certainly a weasel. Why don't we find the mouse in his mouth?
It's more like that it's a weasel opposed to a rat.
I don't know. It's a nice size rat, but we don't know.
My wife just the mouse
went
into the house.
Now, if you're going to tell me, well, now, that if it grabbed it from the achbar, why isn't it eating the achbar? How about if the mouse goes into the house, the chometz is bepiv, the chulda comes out of the house, and he's holding in his mouth a mouse and a piece of bread?
So,
yes, he likes it more. So anyway, how about then? Yachavada you, this must be the same mouse. Too much of a coincidence. That's the mouse and the chametz. Odilma. Imita the iu niu. If it was the same mouse, why isn't the kikar in the mouth of the mouse and then the mouse in the mouth of the chulda? How come it's separate? Looks like these were two separate attacks. Therefore, we should say, why didn't we find it in the mouth of the mouse? Or on the other hand, if you were a mouse being chased by a chulda, you would have dropped that kikar fast and ran, which is probably what he did. Chulda grabs kikar on his way, mouse grabs mouse, and now you catch him. So all of these problems here, these latter problems, are very serious issues that we have not yet determined. Very wrong. Now here we get to some very, very insightful questions that define for us the nature of some of the dinim of B'dikas Chometz that are coming up, and as usual serve as an introduction to the Mishnah that's coming. Koi Rabbi, kikar b'shmei korah. Suppose you have a kikar that is running across a roof beam. You never, ever get up to the roof beams. And therefore, the question is this is sort of like the Arabs that bust the pipes before they put them in, cement them in, you know. So over here, he had a really smart Arab. He figures, we'll give this Jew a challenge to face up. So on his 14-foot-high ceiling, where he's got these beautiful roof beams, going across the ceiling, he leaves a piece of chametz. So let's see him get that, huh? So here it is. The chametz is b'shmei korah. Do I need to rent a ladder long enough to get up to that korah or not? Sarich salam lo ridat. Oh, I'm sorry. Mi'an inet kulei ay lo atrachu rabbanan. Maybe the rabbanan is some chametz that is inaccessible. It's not going to come down on its own. Maybe they weren't much riach. You do what you can, normal use of the house and so on. The fact that Tzchamis is in the Vatala. After all, Bittel is enough.
I mean,
you see it with your telescope. I mean, obviously, a room that high is probably an observatory. High enough that I don't have normal Kalim and Gisha to go to it. Whatever's not by the normal way that I would look at things. If I need a suit, exactly. It's like Mendel's trying to clean that air conditioning filter. Me at Rechur Rabbanan to bring a sulam to clean it or not. That's the shayla. This is very nogea l'maisa's question. Me amrinu kulei ay lo Rechur Rabbanan. So the question over here is, are the Rabbanan, the chiyuv of B'dikas Chometz is actually to see to it that you get every piece of chametz out of your house, or that whatever can be done as part of your normal cleaning and living is done. Obviously, if this is something that is out of normal reach, to be mevatalit. So this completely would redefine the nature of B'dikas Chometz. If you're telling you just clean out the house normally, but to make sure that everything is checked. I haven't cleaned it out, so what's visible after the price of
bread?
So there's a loaf of bread. Somebody said something wrong with a loaf of bread. It's not yours. You're in the lot.
It's not yours.
As a matter of fact, it's not even a loaf of bread. It looks like a pile of dirt to me. It's an afra beyond. Look at that.
The question of
I wonder how we got dirt on the up there on the Quran.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there isn't an opportunity between being behind the frame where you can't see it and being up there where you can see it, even though they're both in
existence. No difference. Other than the question before whether you'll come to eat it. But since over here you're not going to come. We said before, build a bechid, said it's chametz biyakov. You know, put a kofal of clean, but that's just in order to avoid accidentally bumping into letting somebody eat it. Maybe it'll find it or whatever. Well, you, we don't have that charm. Well, here I have, first of all, it needs to be yours. This isn't mine. And secondly, it needs to be chametz. According to those, all the tashbitu is turns it into dirt. So it's not chametz. It's mushbat mainly be. So there's no problem. Or perhaps in them, Dilma Zinid, enough of us, maybe we should worry. Yeah, what if there's an earthquake? You know? Shake it off, and then you may end up eating it during Pesach. So you have to get rid of it. Which shows now a new element that we didn't really clearly say in the Gemara before, that Bedikat Chametz has something to do with the Pshash of Shema Yimtza. Not the case that we had before, that you'll be over by Rov Yimtza without the Bidlo Yimtza of Gluska Yof, and you'll come to eat it. But rather, that you won't be mashbedit, but rather maybe you'll come to eat it. There's a chashash over here for the first time, that someone may come to eat chametz that's not removed. Okay, but if let's say intim so amazim that enough of us will make. Let's say that we do take that into consideration, we're mechayev to get rid of it. How about if the kikar is in the bor? Now, it's not going to fall out of the bor, at least not in this universe configuration. So now what? Do I need to get a sulam to go down into the cistern to get it out? Oh, wait, sir. So, certainly not going to come down, come up out of that bar on its own. Oh, Dilma. Or shall we even say that the Rabbanan were koshesh? What happens if this person needs to go down into the bar and he come now perhaps to eat it? How about, question over here is how far would we go? Rashi takes out the imtim salomar, because it has absolutely nothing to do with the previous question. The following question stands on its own. And that is, a rattlesnake is holding, this was an old trick of the cults in California. You know, either they would put the rattlesnake in your mailbox if they didn't look like you. Turn to those stories. What's the name of the place?
S.
No, there was this big cult of it. Anyway, they didn't like people, that's what they would do. Or if they were Jewish, they would put the chametz in the mouth of the rattlesnake, and then figure the Jew will go try to get the chametz, and then he can't blame us. So now the question is, what do I do about that rattlesnake? So do I need to get a snake charmer to charm the snake for me to get the chametz out of the snake? Sarich chavar notzi. Oh, ain't sarich. What is this nogeya? Whether I got to pay money for something crazy to be yodin? In other words, is this only a chiyav that the rabbanu or mechayev the gufei? Atrafu rabbanu? Rabbanu were mechayev you to do a mitzvah. They were not mechayev you to see to it at whatever cost that there's no chametz in your house. Okay, well, snake. I don't know how to deal with snakes. Goodbye. That's not my responsibility. Or was the fear of Bedikas Chametz? You could see why there would be an interesting dilemma, you know, to this new issue. Because it's based on an analysis of what is the norm of Bedikas Chametz. So there's, what this is saying is that there is a fear to see to it, no matter what it takes. I need to bring somebody in that can tame the snake. So do we say, Begufi atrukhu rabbana? Bimamoni lo atrukhu rabbana? Odioma lo shana? What's that?
He's
not. That's a different issue. It depends where you live. You should read some of these stories of living in Africa. Sorry, I didn't catch that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bodkin or Arba Asar, Arba Asar Shacharit, Ubishat HaBiur. Now, on the surface, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is saying you need three bedikas. You need to do bedikas chametz at night, you do bedikas chametz in the morning, and then you do another bedikas chametz at the time that it's time to burn the chametz, which is Bishat HaBiur, the beginning of the sixth hour. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, so backups. Lo Badak or Arba Asar, you didn't do bedikas in the nighttime. Then yivdok barbaasa, lo badak barbaasa yivdok betoch hamoed. Rashi learns that the betoch hamoed over here does not mean literally what you think, namely during Pesach, but betoch hamoed means at the time of the moed of the sreifas chametz. In other words, during the sixth hour. If you weren't bodek betoch hamoed, then yivdok lachar hamoed. then even up till the night, you could be voting. In other words, according to Rashi, this is how the Ron is answering Rashi. Rashi is taking for granted that even the Chachamim who say that you should be bodik later in the day, and we're not afraid, because in a sense the bodik is a contradiction. When I'm being bodik the night before, fine, there's no isur I can come to, but when I'm being bodik b'shas isur achila, why aren't we afraid that I'll be bodik, find myself a nice delicious donut, and I'll eat it? So if the whole point of the bodik is to avoid coming to a matzah, which we're going to tell you, go ahead and be bodik in order to be nikshal, that's crazy. Better just forget about the chametz at this point, and I hope you won't find any. So Rashi holds that to say that according to the Chachamim, that I would tell you to do bedikas chametz during Pesach itself, where if I find the chametz and I eat it, I'll end up being over Nisr Karev, where we're not going to be Mekayim. The only thing that the Chachamim would be arguing on is whether, since on Erev Pesach, it's not Nisr Karev, the chametz. So there the Rabbonim said, okay, better to go ahead now and rely on the fact that somebody who's interested in checking for something in order to get rid of it is not that senile that he's going to pop it into his mouth. Fine, but in terms of how the Rabbanim have to be careful, they have to. The whole idea of it is that I won't be thinking, in which case I won't be aware, because it's a normal reaction, unfortunately, unless you're on a diet, to find a donut and pop it into your mouth. Right? That's the main problem of dieting, is to learn. But just because something has calories doesn't mean it belongs in your tummy. Okay, but usually people grow up thinking they see food. They're like foraging animals. They see the food, putting them out. So now, therefore, says Rashi, couldn't be that the Chachamim were arguing all the way to the extreme, that they would say that not only should you be betting the chametz up to the nighttime, but even betoch hamoed, nobody else learns like Rashi. Everybody takes the Mishnah Kepshuta. If you didn't do it the nighttime during the day, if you didn't do it any time during the day, do it betoch hamoed. That's all the Mishnah is saying. Okay. So here, according to Rashi, the Chachamim are saying you could be bodik all the way up to the night. Lo badak betoch hamoed, you didn't do the bedik up until the night, then yivdok over here, betoch the sixth hour, be bodik all the way up until the night. Liachar mo, meaning after the sixth hour. The way everybody else learns, this means for chometz after Pesach. Umashe mishayer, as far as the bedik at the night is concerned, anything that you're going to leave over to eat the next morning, make sure it's put into a plastic bag. Yanichenu betzinakadesh layayetzar bedik acharov, which we talked about earlier. So according to this again, this is a naive reading of the Mishnah. According to this, Rabbi Yehuda holds that there are three times for bedikah. The Chachomim are saying, there's not three, there's one bedikah. There's backup times. If you didn't bodik then, be bodik then. If not then, be bodik then. In which case, given this naive reading, ask the Gemara, why in the world would Rabbi Yehuda think that you should be bodik chametz three times? My time at the Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Avunah Damit Arvayu, keneged shalosh hashbatot shabbat Torah. Look, we want people to be aware of the Baal Yera'eh and the Baal Yematzeh and the Tashbitu. So those are three different things. Therefore, we convey at three different bedikas. One for lo Yera'eh lecha chametz, lo Yera'eh lecha soror, shivat yamim. Then we have the shivat yamim soror lo Yematzeh bevatechem. And then we have the Ach Bayom Arishon Tashpitu Sohor Mibatechem. Those three things are the three times. Mosi Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks from a brayser, which says, Rav Yehuda Omer, Kol Shelo Badak B'Shlosha Prakim Halalu, Shuv Eino Bodek. Well, what in the world? Here Rav Yehuda himself is saying, if you weren't Bodek, there's no more opportunities than the three times that I mentioned. The night before, the morning, and the sixth hour. You didn't do bedika, no more bedikas. That is are not the words of a person who's talking about the chiyuv of bedika l'katchila. Those are the words of a person who's talking about what to do if you hadn't been bodek. Therefore, a naive reading, says Rabbi Yosef, must be wrong. The Brice is clarifying that Rabbi Yehuda was also talking about if you hadn't been bodek, what should you do? Not do l'chatchila three. Therefore, their machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is not whether these are l'chatchila times or whether they're backup times. The machlokis must be what are the backup times. So therefore, Alma, b'mikan ve'elach with the pligim. They're all arguing only about how long after the Zman can you continue, or do you have a chiyuv of bedikah? Chachamim say, even le'achar hamoed, meaning up to the night, the way Rashi's learned. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that we don't allow, we're afraid you may come to eat it. Only the last chance that you've got is at the time of biur. Marzutra masin hachi, by the way, there's another girsa that has it in the Braita, one word that makes it even more clear. In this version, the Braita that Rabbi Yosef asked from read as follows. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ko Shelo Badak Be'echad Mishlosha Prakim Alalo. That makes it very clear. Somebody didn't use one of these times to do the Bedika? Shuv ein obodek, you can't be bodek again.
By the way,
the
difference in the
years
is the next sheet in the Gemara.
It's my introduction. I always talk like that. I'm talking. I'm the Gemara. Maybe I said something. So in this version, Rabbi Yehuda says beferush in one of the above times. So it's clear he wasn't talking about all the above times. Then shuv eino bodek. Okay. So then, in other words, what is he arguing with the Chachamim? Whether shuv eino bodek, that's all. So ama b'shuv eino bodek could have pleaded that you can't be bodek after that time. Okay. So therefore, how do we read the Mishnah now? Correctly. Rabbi Yehuda is also saying im lo badak. Now, you have to be bodek. How much time in elat do you need for one daf yomi?
The advantage in elat is when I start the minam nim.
Yeah.
I just push the
stop button.
And go back and hear it again. So if you just...
Oh.
Please just remember.
Just tell me, when you press stop, do I stop breathing? Or it's suspended animation? How does it work? Uh-huh. Listen, why don't we wire up that remote to a little electrode? No, but here it's a self-energized electrode. So therefore, what's the Mishnah really saying? Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Bodkin or Yudalit. If you didn't do Bedikah or Yudalit, Bodkin Shakris Yudalit. If you didn't do Bedikah or Shakris Yudalit, then Bishat Aviyur do the Bedikah, which is during the sixth hour. The Chachamim Omrim. But after that, no more Bedikah. Why? Because we don't want you to look for comments. We're happy you should just forget about your comments at this point. Chachamim Omrim, no. If you didn't do the bedikah at the night time, you do the bedikah any time during the day. Again, not like Rashi. You do the bedikah any time during the day. You didn't do that? Any time during Yom Tov. Again, not like Rashi. Like Rashi. You didn't do the bedikah up until the Shas, which it's Asr. You can even do it b'shas that it's Asr, up until the night. That's the La'akar HaMoed, after the Moed of the Beauty. Okay, so therefore things become very clear. What's the machlok? It's all about Avakim Ifli. Amar Savar, Mikami Yisura in Batar Yisura Lo. Gzeira Dima Atil Meichamene. So what is Rabbi Yehuda Shita? Once it becomes Asur, we will not tell you to be Bodhi. Because we have a Gzeira that maybe, because you're looking for it, when you find it, you'll pop it into your mouth. Rabbonin Savri Lo Gazrina. Rabbonin Old. Because, as we'll see the logic later, because when a person is being Osek for a purpose that is Keneged, he's putting it in his mouth, it doesn't make sense. Looking for the chametz to burn it, I should not put it in my mouth. I'm not that tzinah. So in the middle, I don't have to be gozer. Again, according to Rashi, even I leave it a rabbana, I would be gozer during Yom Tov. Only up to Yom Tov that we say this part.
Yom Tov is always after the 6 hours.
According to Rashi, the word moed means shas v'biur, that's the moed, which is the sixth hour. The achar moed means from the seventh hour, from the beginning of the seventh hour, until the night time. Not the moed, the yontif.
Nobody knows that during yontif you have to...
According to Rashi, nobody knows. The other Rishonim learn the Mishnah Kipshuta, that the Rabbanim do not concern themselves with the question of whether somebody who's doing a maisa v'dika would go pop the food into his mouth. They say that's absurd. Even where it's nogean, it's a karet. I rely on that svara. And therefore, you would have to look during Chol HaMoed according to the Rabban. Okay, this next few days takes some time. So, for Echad Shechomet, to the fun of Shnei Botim, Bidutim, Vyosa, Achvar, Bishak, Avalo, Yadin, Elahaya, Elahaya, Hainu, Shnei Shvilin, Titznan, Shnei Shvilin, Echad Tamei, Vyechad Tov, Vyalo, Vyechad Nihem, Vyosa, Tair, Zubach, Haver, Valach, Vyosheni, Vyosa, Tair, Rebbe Yudayim, Verim, Nishalu, Zeb, if they had smoke, Zeb, if they had smoke, Torim, But Shnei Mevad Achat Meim, Rebbe Yosef, in any case, always to Meim, Amar Ava, or such a Rebbe Yochanan. It's not really so simple. Bevad Achat Divrei HaKol to Meim, Bezeach Aza also Divrei HaKol to Horim. Lonech V'Lobali Shel Alav V'Al Chaveiro. So Rebbe Yosef compares that to the case of Bevad Achat. Rebbe Yudah Medani L'Zeach Aza. Now how about Sefek O Sefek Lo'al? Hainu Bika. That's book to Rebbe Yosef Rabbanim. It's not a Nikmas V'Bika B'Yemota G'Shamim. The tum'ah, the sort of plonit. We are marachad alakti v'mokam alaos v'eni yodei mikvas v'tas adeh im lo nikvasti. Rebbe Eliezer mitayer v'chachomim v'tamim shayim. Rebbe Eliezer omer, sofik biya tohor, sofik maga tum'ah tamim. Alu badak v'lo eshkach, plukta d'rabi mev rabban. That's not.
הרי רבי מאיר אומר כל דבר שבחזקת טומאה לעולם ובטומאתו עד שיוודע לך הטומאה היכן היא. הרומים אומרים בודק עד שמגיע לסלע או לקרקע פתולה. או לא בדק וישכח. פלוקי לרבי רבי שמעון גמליאל, תן יסוד שדבר בקבר נכנס לתוך הטמא. נמצא בקבר, נכנס לתוך הטהור, שאני אומר, קבר שעבד הוא קבר שנמצא. דברי רבי רבי שמעון גמליאל אומר, לא, תיבדק כל השדה כולה. הניח תשע ומצא עזר. פלוקי לרבי ורבונה. דתני הניח מנה מצא מתיים, חולנו מעשר שנים מעורבים זה בזה דברי רבי. כאחורי ממורמן, there's nothing left of the original money, and it's הכל חולי. אבל הניח עשר ומצא תשע. היינו סייפה, תתן הניח מתיים עצם מונה, מונה מונח ומונה מותר דבר רבי, אנחנו אומרים הכל חולים, הניח בזווית זו ומצא בזווית אחרת, פלוטר שמיום יום רבון, נתניה, קרדום שעבד בבית הבית המי, שאני אומר, אדם תמי נכנס לשם ונטלו, רב שמע גם לי, אני אומר, הבית ההור, שאני אומר, השאילה לו אחר ושכח, או שנטלה מזווית זו והניח בזווית אחרת, ושכח, זווית? מה נדור חשמי? חיסור מאחר, זה לא כתב. קרדום שעבד בבית הבית המי, שאני אומר, אדם תמיד נכנס לשם ונטלו, או שהניחו בזווית זו, או בזווית אחרת, הבית המי, שאני אומר, אדם תמיד נכנס שלם ונטלו, בזווית זו וניח בזווית אחרת. שם גם לי אומר, הבית ההור, שאני אומר, in the first case, השאיר לי אח ושכח, or in the second case, not on מזווית זו, himself, הניח בזווית זו, ושכח. אמר רבא, עכבר נכנס בכיכר בפי, ונכנס אחריו ומצא פירורים. צריך בריקה, מפני שאין דקו של עכבר לפרף. ויאמר רבא, תינוק נכנס בכיכר בפי, בידו, ונכנס אחריו ומצא פירורים צריך בריקה, ויש דקו של תינוק לפרף. בואי רבא, עכבר נכנס בכיכר בפי, ועכבר יוצא בכיכר בפי מעל. מי אמרינו, היינו הידי אב, היינו הידי נפק, עוד יום האחרינו, אם תמצלום היינו הידי אב, והיינו הידי נפק, עכבר לבן נכנס בכיכר בפי. ועכבר שחור יוצא בכיכר בפיו מעל. היי ודאי אחרינו, עוד יום הרמוי הרמי מיני. ואם תמצלום העכברים לא שקלו מהדדי, עכבר נכנס בכיכר בפיו, וחודו יוצא בכיכר בפיה מעל. כל דבר הם מאחבר שקלתי, עוד יום האחרין עובדים איתה, ומאחבר שקלתי, אחבר בפיה אבי משתקע. ואם תמצא לא אומר, אם איתה, ומאחבר שקלתי, אחבר בפיה אבי משתקע. אבל אחבר נכנס בכיכר בפיו, וחולדה יוצא בכיכר ואחבר בפי חולדה מעל. אך עבד היו, עוד יום האם איתה דיו, בין כיכר בפי אחבר משתקע, אבי בואי משתקעו לכם. עוד יום המשום ביתותו נפל, ושקלתי, תגע. בואי רבא, כיכר בשמי קורא, צריך סולם להורידה או אין סולם? צריך. מי אמינה כולי היי לא עד רכו רבונו כיוון דלו נפס מנף שלו עשי למיכלו? עוד יום הזין לדנף ועשי למיכלו. ואם תמצא למה, so this introduces for the first time eating, which is the next mission. ואם תמצא למה, הזין לדנף ועשי למיכלו, כיכר בבור, צריך סולם להעלותה או אין צריך? אך הבאלי לא עבידת סעת מנף שם, עוד יום הזין לדנף וצריך ועשי למיכלו. אם תמצא לא מזין לנוח, זה צריך לבסן למכלה. כיכר בפי נחש, צריך חבל להוציא או אין. אין צריך. בגופי התוכל רבנו ממנו, לא התוכל רבנו דמה לא שמע. רבי יהודה אומר, בואו כנור 14, 14, שחרית ב-16 ביור. וחלומים אומרים, לא בדק אור ב-14. יבדוק ב-14, לא בדק ב-14, יבדוק בתוך המועד. לא בדק בתוך המועד, יבדוק אחר המועד. ומה שמשייר, ינכן בצינה, כדי שלא יהיה צורך בדיק אחר. מה הטעם את רבי יהודה? Rav Chista, assuming that he holds, you need three separate bedikas. Rav Chista, for Rav Bar Avunah, mitavar kineged shalosh hashpatot shabat Torah. Lo yereh lach hachametz, lo yereh hasa'or. Shivat yamim tzor lo yamatzer batechem. Ach, boyom harishon, tashbitu tzor lo yamatechem. Mati, Rav Yosef, Rav Yidah, rekel shalom badak kishol shapratim alalu. Shuvin obadei kama mikan ve'elach ulek ligit. Mazrut amat ni'ach, Mati, Rav Yosef, Rav Yidah, omer, כל שלא בדק באחד משלוש הפרקים הללו. שוב אינו בודק. anyway, אמר ושוב אינו בודק את הפליגי. אלא רבי יהודה נמי אם לא בדק, אמר, לא חבל כמי פליגי. מה סבא, אוני מכמה איסורי אין, מייק לבדיקה בדבטר איסורי, better not, גזי רדיל מעטי למיכלו מיני. ואז רבן הצברי, לא גזפינם.